spirit of John Woo is alive and well. We're live.
Hello and welcome to a kick-ass bonus episode of the First Time Watchers podcast.
Because we still like to watch.
I'm joined by Walter Vinci and Hermano da Silva. My name is Tim Costa. In this episode, we'll be discussing the 2011 film The Raid. This movie was just released wide in the United States under the name The Raid Redemption. The Raid is directed by Gareth Evans and stars Iko Uwai, Ananda George, and Ray Sahatabi, I think. This is an Indonesian film that was first released in September of 2011 at the Toronto International Film Festival. As it made its way around the festival circuit, word soon followed that this was one of the most action-packed films to be released in quite some time, and its reputation grew from there. Guys, do you think this reputation is earned, Walter?
Hells yes!
Yeah?
My God. It's like what I said at the beginning of the podcast. The spirit of John Woo is alive and well. I got everything I could possibly want out of this movie.
Okay.
Oh, and it delivered on so many levels for me.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. I think maybe a little overhyped, but we'll get more into that.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it's one of the best action films I've seen in years. Do you want to add onto what you think, Wally?
Oh, man, this movie, I'll probably just keep interjecting over the course of this podcast, but this movie is badass.
Uh-huh.
Do yourself a favor, go get a ticket now, go see it. Go see it, and then go see it again, because I'm going to go see it again.
Okay. Anything specific you want to talk about?
Oh, Jesus. It's got everything you want. I mean, I'm a big action fan, so it's got everything you want. It's like the movie starts like maybe 20 minutes worth of quiet, and then from there they just take the dial and they dial it up to 12. It's got gunplay, it's got hand-to-hand fighting.
Well, the plot synopsis on IMDb, a SWAT team becomes trapped in a tenement run by a ruthless mobster and his army of killers and thugs. Pretty much.
That's exactly
what it is. I tell you, I think this is how you make an action movie. You get right into it and you fill the story in as you go. You know, sure, the story is light; it's even threadbare. But when you develop an action movie as intense as this one, who the fuck cares about a story? You know,
exactly.
Plus, I appreciated the fact that it didn't try to be overly complicated. It was pretty simple. The story was very simple. It unfolds as the movie goes along. You know what I mean? It didn't just try to feed you a bunch of stuff in the beginning and then say, all right, F all that story now. You know everything. Here comes the action.
Right.
It tried to, as you know, it went along pretty smoothly, I thought.
Yeah, it makes you care about the protagonist enough at the beginning. It's because he's with his wife who's pregnant, dressed in all white with this nice hue behind her, This is like aura of goodness behind her.
Juxtaposed by him beating the shit out of a heavy bag.
Absolutely.
With like his hands. If this is like actually the speed that his hands move at, this guy is nasty.
That was impressive.
I mean, because all you hear is like it starts off like thump, 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 and then it sounds like someone's playing a snare drum, and his hands are just a blur on the screen, and he's hitting this bag like left and right. I'm like, oh, this is going to be good.
it was pretty good. I loved the cinematography too. You know, the camera I thought was used pretty well, especially during the hand-to-hand combats.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the only part I thought it was kind of weak, the camera was during the gunfight scenes. It was a little too shaky, you know, a little too jittery. But when it went to bare fist fighting, you know, the camera was more deliberate, following the action and showing you what you really needed
to do. And it was more like wide angle stuff. It didn't try to do like the Bourne Identity, really close shaky cam. Can't really tell what the hell's going on because it's so right up in their faces and stuff. It kind of just
sat
back and you just kind of got to see, you know, a wide shot of people, two guys fighting it out.
I really love the scene, you know, after they put the grenade in the fridge and the room explodes, you know, and he's just waking up from this explosion. The camera's focused right on his face, and you can tell he's lying down. And as he gets up, the camera follows
him up.
That exact angle. It almost looked like the camera could have been attached
to him,
but it wasn't. But it also pans out just enough as his focus gains as to where he is in the room and what's around him. You know, the destruction and the other people that are injured. And I think the best use of the camera in the whole movie. You really get to see, you almost feel what he's feeling. You know, I thought it was fantastic. I don't know what else you can say about the action.
Pacing of the action scenes in this movie are incredibly fast.
Right.
To the point where I'm sitting on the chair, I can barely breathe. Yeah. When the action scene hits and basically it just goes from zero to all hell breaks loose, mm-hmm. and they're trapped in this room, and they just and you can kind of imagine what it's like you, I gotta get the fuck out of this room.
Yeah.
And everything is just going haywire, and it's just like boom, 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 and you just see stuff going on in the background, like there's people shooting through walls.
Yeah.
So there's guys going down, and then there's this, you know, the lead character's got an axe, and he's trying to hack a hole through the floor to get, you know, so that he can get his team out of there. And it's just, it is breakneck from the minute they decide to just let it rip. It just goes.
Yeah, there are times where it does break, you know, for character dialogue to either fill you in of what has happened, what's going to happen, mm-hmm. or what, you know, has happened someplace else.
A little more backstory to some
characters. Right, right. So at that in those moments, I think the idea of where you had, Hermano, had said that it was a bit overhyped came to my mind, because I had heard nothing but action from beginning to end. So when it did stop for those 3 minutes, I was like, oh, well, you know, it really isn't action from beginning to end.
I mean, a lot of people put the emphasis on the word nonstop action, and there are definitely a lot of breaks. I mean, they're not huge. They're not like, you know, huge 30-minute lulls in the movie. It's like 3 to 5 minutes tops usually to get a little bit more backstory, like Tim said. And, you know, I don't think that was the part I thought was overhyped. I thought, for me, what was overhyped is that I heard a lot about the fighting and the gunplay and all that stuff, and I'm like, it really wasn't stuff that I hadn't seen before. Like, it was to an extent, but I mean, if you've seen like any of the older like Tony Jaa movies,
yes,
like The Protector and the first Ong Bak.
Ong Bak, yeah.
Yeah, you get a lot of, I don't know if this is the exact same fighting style, but it looked like kind of like Muay Thai-ish.
Right.
A lot of knees and elbows and stuff like that. So I've seen a lot of that type of fighting before. So I was like, but you know, they added a few new things that I hadn't seen, like
spinning neck breaker.
Yeah, a lot of the, you know, him grabbing that dude by the neck and then just, you know, throwing him down on top of like a shattered door.
Oh, that was amazing.
And just pretty much half
that was another great job of the camera following the action, mm-hmm. you know, from that eye level down to floor level.
Yeah.
As he brings him down onto that door jamb. That was amazing.
Yeah.
That was really great. I was just about to say something too about, that's right. You know, you bring this, if you brought this movie back to like Bruce Lee era early 70s and show this to somebody, they would lose their mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people still put Bruce Lee on a pedestal, you know, for one of the best, you know, martial artists, you know, in movies ever. And you know, sure, it's well earned, but I mean, his technique is nothing compared to the brutality in this film. You know, it's so...
Yeah, Bruce Lee movies were never overly brutal, like in these. Like these, I mean, I don't want to say they're... like, that's all this movie was just a lot of, you know, overly gory brutality. It really wasn't. There were some scenes where it was like, holy crap, but then there were others where it was more, you know, just like a guy just getting knocked out. It wasn't... Everybody wasn't getting their heads chopped off. Right. You know, Bruce Lee movies were always about, like, you know, he'd beat somebody, but he'd pretty much, like, knock them out. He wouldn't, like, kill them usually, typically.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen so many people get stabbed in the knees.
knees and neck stabbing is...
Actually, that's another point where if you've seen... I think it's The Protector, the one with he's trying to get the elephants back in the Tony Jaa movie.
Yep.
He attaches elephant bones to his, have you seen it, Wally?
I've not seen it.
The Protector, you haven't seen it either?
I think I have, yeah.
So at the end of the movie, he, kind of spoilers for The Protector, he gets like some elephant bones and he pretty much ties them to his arms.
Yeah.
But they're sharp.
Yeah.
So he's like, he uses them and he literally cuts like tendons and knees, like all, like at least 100 dudes, no word of a lie.
Well, this ties into
fighting like 50 to 100 guys, and he just like totally just using these elephant bones, just smashing them, cutting people.
This ties into the martial art that's actually in this area. It's called Kali Arnis Eskrima, and it's knife and stick fighting.
Uh-huh.
And the motions that you first learn are, it's like there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and you work up and down the body.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're using like the sticks, you're not using like a stick like you would like a bat. You're not swatting. You actually like swat and jab with like the end of the stick, much like you would like a knife. And that's why I saw a lot of this with the knife play goes, especially at the very beginning when the hero character is fending off an entire room full of bad guys with just a knife in his hand.
Yeah.
And they have machetes.
Yeah.
And we saw this in there was people in, like, just really reacting loudly behind us, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
The part where, like, he blocks one of the machetes with a knife, sticks it in the guy's arm, and then just drags it all the way down his forearm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just people in the crowd are like, oh my God!
Yeah, this guy wouldn't just stab somebody. He would stab you and then, like, pull it down, like, 6 inches.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Just cut you open. So yeah. It was really brutal looking.
Now, what did you guys think about the bad guy?
One of my favorite scenes was actually the scene where he was introduced. My favorite scene in the entire movie. Really subtle. It reminded me of something out of Drive.
Say.
Like, so we were introduced to the main guy, and pretty much they want to put an emphasis on how bad this guy actually is. So, of course, you know, it's a scene where he has, like, three or four guys, tied up and bound on their knees, facing away from him. So he has a gun. He pulls the gun out, kills the first three guys with a shot to the head each, and then he goes to the fourth guy, and he's out of bullets.
Yep.
So he's like, hold on to this for me. Lays
he puts
the
it
gun
on
his shoulder and says, I'll be right back.
Yep.
He reaches into... He pulls open a drawer that he has at his desk, and in it are just a bunch of rolling bullets and a hammer.
Yep.
And I'm like, it was like my favorite scene in the entire movie. I'm thinking, oh crap. Like, it was so tense. I'm like, he's going to grab the hammer. Of course, he grabs the hammer and just takes the last guy out with just a hammer shot to the head. It was my favorite scene in the entire
movie.
Well,
you know, actually, who he reminded me of was the bad guy in 13 Assassins, because there's no getting around how evil he is.
Yeah.
There's no gray area with him whatsoever. He is just pure evil. Mm-hmm. Just like in the beginning of 13 Assassins, he kills a kid.
Yeah.
You know, there's no gray area whatsoever.
I would give it to the guy in 13 Assassins was a little bit more sadistic.
Yeah, of course, when you kill a kid.
Because, I mean, throughout the movie, they go into villages in 13 Assassins and you find in people that this guy has literally fucked up their lives.
Yeah.
This bad guy in 13 Assassins, and you just, it kind of keeps going in 13 Assassins. You're like, holy shit, you get a scene after scene after scene, seeing like how this guy's affected these people's lives. And you really only get this one scene where this guy is really fucked up. He actually does the killing himself.
Yes.
Because the rest of the movie is pretty much like, hey, go get these guys.
Right.
And he just kind of sits up there in his little tower.
Yeah.
Hangs out.
I don't know if I want to get into a little bit of a spoilers, I guess.
This is a bonus episode. This is going to be spoilers no matter what. I'll put a spoiler warning at the beginning.
Okay. regarding the two henchmen of the bad guy, one of them being the brother, did you guys kind of see that coming?
I saw that coming.
I sort of did,
The only thing I didn't see coming was the quick reversal that they did, where... They talk about at the very beginning that one of them will come at you with just a fury of fists and knees, and the other one is the brains. And when you first see these two guys, you're not quite sure which one is which one is which. And so, the one that's one of the guys that's in the elevator, he's like, I don't need anybody to come with me, and they like go with him anyway.
Yeah,
and it kind of makes it look like he's like he's the crazy one.
Sure.
And then you see him pull a knife out and just kill the two guys in the elevator for no reason. And I'm sitting there going, all right, I know I can see kind of where this is going, because the way they did like some of the other camera shots where you see who's on camera in this building, and the whole time I still thought he was the brawn guy, only to find out that it's the other way around. But that was a pretty cool twist.
Yes, I don't know the fight scene between the two brothers and the. The henchmen.
And the henchmen, that was awesome.
It was pretty awesome. Although, you know, you have to spend a little bit more disbelief at that point, because the brother is getting his ass kicked, you know, being used as a punching bag, hanging from the ceiling.
And he's in the fight.
And he is fighting like no problem.
That particular henchman, though, his fight scene with the other police officer is the one scene that really actually disturbed me somewhat.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and usually I don't get disturbed during action movies.
At what point?
The point where he kills the other cop, and you like realize that the cop is basically at this point fighting for his life, trying to pull his arms down.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he keeps hitting him.
Yeah.
And like you're like, oh, this guy, he's gonna kill him.
Yeah.
He's gonna kill him. You think he's gonna come out of it?
Yep.
And then, nope.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's.
Yeah, they did drag that on a bit, because I guess for the intention of making you think that there was gonna be
some sort of save.
Save, yeah, exactly.
Well, when you first said suspend your disbelief a little bit, when they first mentioned the guy, before you ever actually see him, they just pretty much portray him to be like this crazy, insane guy. I'm thinking this guy's going to be like 8 feet tall, 300 pounds, you know what I mean? Like But he's like probably the smallest guy and one of the smaller guys in the entire movie.
I love that. I love that about him.
Yeah. No, I think it's fine, but I had an image in my head. I don't know why it just popped in. I'm thinking.
Well, that's probably intended.
And plus, when he's fighting the two brothers, both of them are, especially the cop, is a lot larger than this guy.
Yes.
And this guy is fighting two guys at the same time, and he's handling his business no problem. He pretty much had him beat.
You look at Jackie Chan, you probably take him lightly as well, just by the looks of him.
I mean, even someone like me, I mean, I've studied martial arts most of my life, and and that's one thing I was like watching this going, like, the little guy's going to kick everybody's ass. It's going to be awesome. So big guys out there, pay attention. Don't piss us off.
Did you find the ending to be a little anticlimactic or fitting? How did you view the ending?
I like the ending, actually. Because it ties in well with how they renamed the movie here in the States, Redemption, because ultimately there's a conversation that the two brothers have about like this is what I'm good at. I realize I'm not working with the quote unquote good guys.
Yeah.
But I finally found my place in the world.
Okay.
And at the end, he's basically like, you're gonna be he's telling him all these things about, trying to get his brother out of there, trying to save his brother from this life of crime. And at the very end, it's the brother takes over and can actually enforce a change from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Because like I'm gonna be gone by the time anybody comes back looking for me. So
right.
Basically, he's abandoning the building and saying like, I'm gonna let the cops do their job here, and I'm just gonna disappear because I know what I'm good at now, and I'm gonna go. I can be good at this somewhere else.
I guess they intend to make this a trilogy, so you can kind of see where it might go from here. I mean, do you think it would end up with the two brothers fighting each other eventually, or does it even matter?
No, I could. I mean, this being like an HK type movie, I could see it like some of the other movies that I really like, where you don't see the brother, and then at the very there'll be like mention of him here or there of another character, and then when the chips are down and the hero needs a backup, you'll hear like this like da na na na.
That's
and then
right.
The brother will show up, and then he'll just be like just tearing the place apart.
I thought the soundtrack to this movie was amazing. The way during each fighting scene, each action scene, the score just builds and builds and builds. It starts as this low, almost hum, and just builds in intensity as the climax of each action scene is about to happen, and until there's that final blow or the final shot or the final hit, and that the score is just blaring, and it just crescendos right there. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, it was actually redone. Like that's for the American release, they actually had the guy from Linkin Park redo the score, because I guess it's different from when it was at like the Toronto Film Festival and stuff like that. They for the American release, they got him, and I was afraid when I first heard that. I was like, oh man, I'm not a huge fan of like Linkin Park or anything really. Yeah. So I was afraid it was gonna sound like Linkin Park music, but it was kind of like dancey, dubstepy type music, like kind of sort of dubstep at certain points in the movie. I actually had two mini beefs.
Okay.
And it's things like this I usually pick on in movies, but they're not huge things. But
because I know you wanted Jean-Claude Van Damme in this, didn't you?
Sort of. I wanted him to be the bad guy. No. okay. So this building I think is 15 floors, right? Okay. So the bad guy's obviously the top floor. He's on the 15th floor. There's a corrupt cop in the movie. We're in spoilers.
Sure.
And I think at the point where they're like, he's with another cop. So there's a corrupt cop, another cop, and they're like around on the 7th floor. How the hell did they get 8 floors and just pretty much get right to this guy?
Yeah.
It's not that they went to 8 floors either, because it's like they were in that one room with all the drugs, which I thought they were going to do something really cool with that because it's a meth lab.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought they were going to do something cool. I thought they were going to blow it up.
Yeah.
And
they kind of destroyed it.
They destroyed it by hand, but you see all these chemicals like in the background, like, oh, they're going to, I'm thinking he's going to throw another grenade in there, and this is going to be this crazier explosion than the beginning of the movie. But then like they leave that room, they're like, oh, just take the stairs.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying though. It's like it was incredibly hard for them to even make it to like the 6th floor, 7th floor,
right.
And then all of a sudden these guys like from one scene to the next they made it. They didn't find any opposition at all.
Yeah,
because obviously the corrupt cop is like an older cop. He the guy could not fight. He's not one of these.
Yeah, he was
young
just a
guys.
Bruiser. He just
he pretty much was having dudes run at his fists.
Yeah,
because guys would just run at him like they're not even throwing punches, and he would just go blow. Blast some dude in the face, and I'm like, wow, this guy has no fighting skill at all.
Yeah.
Like, he can't fight, so I'm like, there's no way this guy's gonna make it up to the bad guy.
Yeah.
And then eventually he gets to the 15th floor, he maybe fights Not even fights. He just shoots like three dudes that are up there randomly, and then he gets right to the bad guy. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. Like,
yeah, that was a little odd.
And also, the other thing was, remember in the movie, he has like that master intercom, and he pretty much calls for all the neighbors and all his henchmen to like take care of the SWAT team. So he gets like those two snipers positioned, I guess, on a an adjoining building or whatever.
Yeah.
Those guys at first were laying waste to everybody. Anybody that goes next to a window, anybody that's outside.
Yeah.
So at the end, when they go outside, I'm thinking these snipers are going to come into play. They're still out there.
Yeah.
They
were. Yeah, it doesn't pay off later on.
It doesn't pay off. I'm like thinking, oh man, like the brother's like, don't worry, you're with me. Yeah. I'll get you out of here. Yeah. I'm thinking, oh shit, somebody's going to die right now. Like somebody's going to get shot. Nothing. I didn't mind the ending. I thought it was fine to set it up nicely for a sequel or whatever, but I was just like, what the hell happened to those snipers? Did they just like take a lunch break or something? Like, it was kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it isn't without flaws, holes, you know.
It wasn't. These are like mini beefs. I think the movie's great. Like, it's like you guys said, it's one of the best action movies I've seen in a long time.
I mean, I did compare it a little bit to the was it Ong Bak where Tony Jaa's running around that spiral staircase. Which one is
that's
that?
That's The Protector.
Oh, it is The Protector.
I believe that's
okay,
The Protector.
Okay, so yeah, we're on the same page.
That one shot.
Yeah, it was like 14 minutes long or something.
Yeah, it was
that,
insane.
Yeah, that is pretty insane. Yeah, I wish that there was a more long takes. I mean, there were some pretty decent longer takes in this, following him in the hallway from, you know, henchman to henchman or whatever. Just kick ass, man. It's real kick ass.
Yeah, glad we got to see it. I mean, I was afraid it wasn't going to come anywhere close because I've been hearing about it for a long time, since probably like November or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was at like the Toronto Film Festival, and I heard people talking about how great it was, and I'm like,
you obviously didn't listen to the opening of my introduction, did you?
What'd you say?
I said it opened in 2011 in September at the Toronto International Film Festival.
To you.
Thank you for paying attention to me.
Did you say something?
What?
You didn't say something?
anything else you guys want to add?
I think. What else? Oh, favorite. What were your favorite deaths? Can I go first?
Okay, go ahead.
All right. My favorite death by far, and it was more of a funny death, because I'm pretty sure this guy had to have died. So they chop that hole in the floor, and they jump down a floor, I think. Yeah, they jumped down a floor. So they jump down. They know that the guys are breaking in to that room they were previously in. And they're probably going to jump down the hole, knowing that they went down it. So this one cop just times the guy jumping down the hole, catches him in midair, running start, catches him and just throws him right out the window. The guy does not even hit the ground.
Yeah.
He's like caught in midair and just throws him like a baby. I was like, holy crap.
Oh, one scene I really liked was in the opening when the cops are trapped by the gunman in the hallway. In that open hallway where all the balconies are open to each other, it's when the gunmen finally see the cops, because one of the cops fires a shot in the dark and it lights up that area that they're in. And that slow motion of the light exposing where they are, and then the slow motion of the gunmen shooting down upon the cops.
Yeah.
That was pretty effective.
That
was really
cool. Yeah.
Yeah. But as far as one of my favorite deaths, you know, that was really kind of cool how the last guy, the second in command, if you will, when he's fighting the two brothers, and he gets stabbed in the neck. By
fluorescent bulb.
he just drags it along his neck.
Oh,
that was pretty brutal.
It was brutal because the way it looked like chicken skin or something.
Know,
like someone was just ripping. Oh, it
yikes.
Looked pretty badass.
Yeah. Walter?
I'm going to say the guy who gets off my favorite was the guy who gets the door to the edge of the door to the face.
Oh,
In the hallway.
That's right.
The way it's timed, that is the absolute end to this particular sequence.
Yes.
He's fighting a bunch of guys with machetes, and he takes them, and he even takes out like the big leader of the machete band that's there. He takes them all down, and then the very last one just grabs this dude by the head, jumps backwards, splays completely out, and just runs him, you know, neck down onto this, you know, this busted door that somebody had gotten thrown through, you know, just a moment prior.
Yeah.
End of fight.
I actually have a runner-up to the guy that got thrown from like one floor to the other and just landed
on the
balcony
backwards
and just snapped his spine. Oh my god. It looked so good. Like it looked so like seamless.
Yeah, the practical effects on this are pretty awesome, actually.
Okay, I want you guys to guess how much it costs to make this movie.
Considering it's overseas and in where was it
Are you converting
shot?
to American dollars?
Indonesia.
Indonesia?
Yes, I see American
All
dollars.
right. I'm gonna say
I'm gonna
like
say like maybe.
$250,000.
I'm gonna say a little more. I'm gonna say like 2 million.
$1.1 million.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's nothing, and they were really they did their
Yeah,
job.
it just goes to show, man, you don't need like $250 million budgets to make a kick-ass movie. I mean,
Nope.
these guys, I mean, obviously these guys, not all of them, a lot of these guys, they probably didn't get paid a ton of money, but I mean, the movie, the product, the final product was amazing.
Yes. You interested in seeing what Gareth Evans has to come up with next?
Yeah, what's he got next?
Well,
What was it?
I'm just wondering, is this enough for you to want to go back or go forward with
I
his
hope he
movies?
goes right to the next
I want
movie.
to see. I
I
want to see
heard
another
it's
Reed movie.
actually.
Yeah, there's nothing according to IMDb. There's nothing in production. This is his last on the
I
list.
heard he's been wanting to make like some sort of prison movie, and now I think he's going to incorporate it into the second movie, and it's going to be like a
Oh,
SWAT team
okay.
going into a prison or something
Oh,
like
that'd be
that.
awesome.
I
That
don't know
would be
how true that
awesome.
is, but it'd be
Maybe
pretty
some
cool.
officers have to get their way out of a prison that's already,
Yeah, maybe
overrun,
that's getting overrun by
that's not
the
out in
prison
space.
population or whatever. Oh man,
No,
please don't let it be in space. That'll be so lame.
they're doing that already. It's called
Lockout. Yeah.
lockout. Anything else you guys want to add?
No, this movie is awesome. Go out and buy your ticket now. Go see it. I will own this movie on DVD when it comes out.
Romano?
I'm trying to think if there was anything else. I feel like we should say more about this movie. I mean, it's rare to see like a really good fighting movie in theaters. You know what I mean? Like,
Well, it's something that has to be experienced. It can't really explain it to somebody well enough.
I mean, the one thing I'll give this movie, where I know previously I was comparing it to like Tony Jaa movies. The one thing Tony Jaa movies don't really compare is that I thought the acting in this movie, even though it was a fighting movie, it
Right.
wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't bad.
Comparative to Tony Jaa. Tony Jaa can't act. He's
No,
just a straight
no.
up fighter.
Right.
Typically, they don't put, all-star actors around him either,
Sure.
A-list actors. They typically, the rest of the cast in his movies are really bad too. But I mean, you don't go there to see great acting. You go to see like great fighting. But I think if you go see The Raid, I think you'll get pretty decent acting, a pretty decent story, which is I thought the story in this, even though there wasn't much to it, was still better than pretty much any Tony Jaa movie.
Sure. Would you recommend people go see it in the theater, or do you think it's okay to wait for a
Go see
Blu-ray?
it in the
If
theater
you're a
because
fan, if you've seen Tony Jaa movies, if you're a fan of martial arts movies, I'd see it in the theater. I
yeah, go
think
see it in the
it's
theater.
definitely
Get the
worth
full
it.
surround sound with the guns going off and
It's
like the
true.
loud
Yeah,
noises.
the sound design in this movie was really good. All the punches, kicks, gunplay. I mean, I wish the gunplay would lasted a little bit longer, but I mean, I like the way it was handled. Like I thought it was, a decent amount of, gunplay, knife play, hand-to-hand combat. It was great. I'd go see it in the theater.
Walter, a grade for this?
Give it an A.
Hermano?
I'll give it an A.
I'll give it a B plus, so
What?
yes.
Oh
Averages
man.
to an A
A
minus.
minus.
First time watchers podcast grade of The Raid Redemption is an A minus. It's official. Stamp it. Send it out. Let everybody know. All right. Thank you for listening to this bonus episode of the First Time Watchers podcast. You can find us on Facebook by searching First Time Watchers. We post movie news and updates that we think you would be interested in. You can email us at firsttimewatchers@gmail.com. Don't forget us to give us a review on iTunes. Any feedback is greatly appreciated.
And you can also follow us on Twitter because now I post you, sons of bitches. It's 1sttimewatchers@twitter.com.
Google Plus.
Rest in peace, Google Plus.
Oh.
Apparently, we received an email saying that you, at least for the time being, on Google Plus, you have to be an actual person and not like a podcast or a business or an
Interesting.
organization. So I think for the time being, we're going to have to put the ixnay on Google Plus.
Okay, then. Edit that out. Stay tuned for our next podcast.
First time watchers, because we love to watch.